Good. Amen. Amen. Yeah, she is. Look, we can go back. Are there s'mores back there? Look, y'all listen fast. Then we'll go mess up their little party and eat all the s'mores. Who doesn't like a s'more, right? Well, I'm talking about. Turn over to Hebrews 3. We'll start about verse 10. I called this, they couldn't go in because of unbelief. You can call it whatever you want to call it. Amen. Hebrews 3. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and magnify your holy name. And we thank you, Father God, for the word that you have for us this evening. I thank you, not my will, but what you would have, not only for this congregation, but also for myself. And Father God, I receive it by faith right now in the name of Jesus. And everybody agreed with me, said, amen. Amen. All right, Tereska, you got something to say. Come on. I'm just playing. Hey, man, just wanted to loosen y'all up a little bit. All right, and we're back. Did y'all see her face? That was amazing. That was amazing. Hebrews 3, about verse 10, it says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway what? Where at? In their heart. And they have not known what? But did they? But did they know his ways? God's ways? Obviously, they seen it every day. Every single day they saw it. Because number one, he fed them with what every morning? Yes. Manna, yes. Right? And then they complained about everything. Then he brought quail in. And then they got water from a rock. Not only that, we talk about that a lot, but what happened in Egypt itself? And then, whenever somebody's a slave, normally the people letting them go does not give them all of their jewelry. Right. No. I've never heard that happening before. But the Egyptians, the Israelites, the Egyptians said, here, take everything. Y'all go and need, just get out of here, please. Y'all can have everything we own.
Yes. Amen.
And so how'd they leave? They left with wealth, abundance. But if you, over in Psalms, I didn't write it down, I should have, it talks about that there was not one feeble one among them.
That's right.
And you have millions of people and not one feeble one among them? So, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. What generation is he talking about? That generation, the Israelites, the one that died in the desert, right? And say, they do always what? Where at? See, you don't know what somebody's really believing. You will if you hang out with them long enough, because they'll end up speaking their heart. Because that's what they ended up doing. They were, you know, yeah, we're with you. Is this all we get? It's just bread every day? Where's the meat at? We can't have meat, you know? What kind of God are you? Yeah. They do all we air in their heart, and they have not known my ways, but yet they seen them every day. So that lets me know that even though I could see the miraculous, I could still doubt it. I could still doubt everything about God in my heart if I want to. It's up to me. It's my choice.
Right.
And they do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Amen. Verse 11, please. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my what? Where were they going? Canaan land. Land that flowed with milk and honey. But God called it what?
Rest.
See, there's no tolling there.
No. Amen.
And this is not talking about heaven.
No.
He said, they shall not enter into my rest. Very interesting that he called it his rest. Because see, whenever we're toiling, we're trying to do it on our own. But there's an ability placed on all of us. Whenever we get into that groove and move with God, it's a rest. It's not a struggle. It's not a paycheck to paycheck. It's a flowing. Easy moving, flowing. They shall not enter into my rest. Next, please. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of what? What does God call an evil heart? A heart of unbelief. Right? And departing from the living God. Amen. Turn or go down to 18 and 19, please. Verse 18. And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his what?
Rest.
There it is again. But to them that what? Interesting word. I would write that down. But to them that what? See, a lot of times we let's go over and read it. We got time in theory. I don't think we do, but hey. Numbers 13, please. Numbers 13. Let's just start at 27, please. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be what?
Strong.
Who told them that? Their senses. That dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very
great.
And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, what? The people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Who told him that? See, it stayed in his heart what God told him. But the other ones left because of their senses. They allowed the natural things to continually tell them what they could and couldn't do. And so now he said, look, God said we're able to do it. Let's go. The other one said, oh yeah, it flows with milk and honey. Absolutely. Look at the grapes there that God's given us. But the giants are in the land. The cities are walled. Amen. Next, please. But the men that went up said, we be not what? To go up against the people, for they are what?
Strong.
Who told them that? Their senses. It's real easy to start running off of senses, especially when you start feeling pressure. You do have to have a little bit of a backbone to be a Christian and to walk in faith. You have to. You can't just be weak and whiny. You can't. I mean, because are we weak and whiny and natural? And then what in the natural, you know, I mean, are we? Do we just let people run over us all the time?
No.
And you shouldn't. You know, there's a difference between letting people run all over you and you walking in love. Amen. But the men that went up said, we be not able to go up against them, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up a what?
Evil
evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we had gone to search it is a land that eateth up what? And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature? Really? So I just forgot everything in Egypt. Whenever the people that were holding us, the Egyptians, I forgot everything that happened to them when they were trying to hold us back. I forgot what happened at the Red Sea, and then also again to the Egyptians when they tried to come kill us. And then I forgot what happened going through every day with the cloud, and then manna, and then all the meat, and then water. Now, it's not just us group walking. This is millions of people.
Yes.
Right? Amen. And Moses hits a rock, and how much water comes out? That's a lot.
Yep.
A lot of water out of a rock.
Yep.
A rock. It didn't say a mountain. He said a rock. I wonder if the rock was that big. Why do we always assume it's a big mountain? They didn't specify the size, but I wonder, just God proving who he is again. Look, just hit that little stone. It could have been that big. Still a rock. It could have been that big. Still a rock. Amen. They brought up an evil report saying these are the men of great stature. So they forgot all of that. And now we'll get to it, but the evil communication, right? So they had to end up dwelling on this and talking about this amongst themselves.
Yep. Come on.
Caleb and Joshua obviously would not allow that conversation to go on around them. Too many times we allow conversations to go on around us that's affecting us and we don't even realize it. Because see, these people, they were like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, the spies. Yeah, this is the land that flows with milk and honey. But they were having a conversation somewhere.
Yes.
We can't take this. Y'all see those giants that were over there? Because see, what were they meditating on? They wasn't meditating on this is the place that God gave us. Caleb and Joshua was, because obviously they said, let's go up at once and take it. We're well able.
Yes.
But they said, nevertheless, we can't. It's too much. The too big walls, the cities are walled. We can't do it. So they were obviously meditating on it. Thinking, see, they seen something and started meditating. That's too big for God. There's no way. Look, I know God paid our light bill last month, but this month, look, I know God's got us. And that's why it's so important to never forget what God has done for you. Continually rehearse it in your life. Let's go back to Hebrews, please. Hebrews 10 or 3, verse 18 and 19. Hebrews 3:18, and to whom swore he that they should what? Not enter into his rest, but to them that what? See, they thought they couldn't enter in because there were giants. They thought they couldn't enter in because the cities were walled. They thought they couldn't enter in because of the giants that lived in the land, because of what was facing them, because of the sickness and disease. They thought they couldn't get in because their credit score wasn't good enough. They thought they couldn't get in because they were living on a fixed income. So they thought it, but God told them, look, and a lot of people might think that, well, they couldn't get in because of the giants. No, God told you why they couldn't get in. Unbelief is what held them out.
Yep.
unbelief, because did Caleb and Joshua still make it?
Yes, sir.
Did they ever dabble in the unbelief? I wonder how the conversations went around those two. We can't make it. Look, I ain't trying to be mean. I know we can. I don't need those kind of thoughts. I'm already dealing with Satan. So you just drive on somewhere else and discuss it with somebody else.
That's right.
Well, you're just being mean. No, I'm protecting myself. Because there's things God's promised me and I need to get them. I need to go after everything that belongs to me that God gave us. And if I just continually meditate on what my credit score is, if I continually meditate on, well, my family, they've had this kind of sickness in their life, or my boss, they just don't like me. The boss, they're just pets with the boss. That's got nothing to do with me getting a raise.
Oh, amen.
I don't care who the boss loves. The boss could love everybody and hate me, but he'll still give me a raise. A lot of times, people look at that kind of stuff and go, well, they just couldn't get in because of that. No, God told them, look, it's your unbelief. That's what didn't get you into the promised land. That's what stopped you from receiving the finances you need. That's what stopped you from living where you wanted to live. That's what stopped the healing from being manifest in your life, was unbelief. Because they started off strong, and out of 12 people, two of them only made it. Out of 12, they started off all good. And it's like running in a marathon. I told y'all about him a few times. I actually got to go up to Vegas. He's a sergeant major now. One of my buddies in the military, starting off, me and him would run, whenever we had a PT test, we'd run together. And so we'd start off, and we made a plan. Look, you start off in front, you bust the wind, I'll run behind you. When you get tired, let me know. I'll shift to the front and I'll bust the wind for you, and we'll just flip-flop. We was just smoking people, smoking them. Because every time I'd get wore out from pushing the wind, because the guy behind him ain't having to push the wind. He's just coasting off that dude in front. He'd get in front, and then we was just able to keep going. We wouldn't let each other stop. That's how the Holy Ghost is. But he'll continually stay in front of you to help you if you'll follow him.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. I don't know where I was going with that. I forgot. Amen. But Caleb and Joshua, they believed God. The others looked at the giants and believed what they saw and felt that it was impossible.
Yes.
Amen. You might ask yourself, how did they feel? They felt fear, which allowed doubt to question what they were even doing there. See, whenever you start getting in doubt, even though you know God told you, and that's another reason why you need to know that God told you to do something, because then you won't question it. If you question if God told you to do something or not, whenever it gets hard, that's going to be a little stumble for you. It's going to be a little hard for you, because you'll be like, did God want me to do this? That's why we need to make up ourselves. And that's why a lot of times if somebody asks me something, well, be led.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? I think be led.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you. Because here's the deal. If I said, yeah, I believe you're supposed to be doing that. Well, if it got hard and they quit, it'd be my fault. Well, you told me to do it. It's just too rough. I can't do it. But if they know that God told them, even though it gets hard, look, God, you told me to do this. I know it's hard, but we're getting through it anyways.
Amen.
See, that you get more backbone almost whenever you know God, for sure, God told me to do this. I'm not stopping. So, and if God did tell us to do something, we're running out of time. Amen. So, we got to, they felt the fear, which allowed doubt, and then that from doubt made them question, what were they even doing there? What are we even doing here, guys? Let's go back to slavery. Let us go back there. They questioned why they were even in the promised land.
Yes.
Because of fear and doubt. Because they looked at the situation and said, that is too big. God is unable to handle this. I found something that's impossible for God, so now I'm going to have to do something another way. And whenever we come up to situations, sometimes that's what we sound like. Because we try to figure out how we can get through it, how we can pay for it, or how we can do it ourselves. The reason I'm saying that, because I've done it. Maybe it's only me, and that's fine. But I've done it a few times and just learned from stupid, stupid mistakes. Amen. Faith is a choice, just like unbelief and fear is. Faith is a choice, just like unbelief and fear is. See, Caleb and Joshua said, we're well able, let's go get it. The other said, we can't. It's a choice. It's a choice. Either you'll believe or you won't. Either we'll stay in faith or we won't. It's a choice for everybody, right? One of the greatest things we have is we can think any way we want to. Anytime we want to think that way. We can think any way we want to. And if once we realize that, and we understand that we cast down vain imaginations, right? Go ahead, pull up 2 Corinthians 5, I believe, 10. Is it 5? Yeah, 10:5, sorry. 2 Corinthians 10:5. You got the easy ESV? Will you pull that up, please? Because Satan will constantly try to bring thoughts to you. Because, I mean, it doesn't say in the Bible that that's what happened to the 10 spies. But I wonder. Because somehow unbelief got in there and just ran rampant with them. So they had to have had conversations about it. Hey, man, did y'all see those giants yesterday? Y'all really think we can win? I mean, y'all saw how big they were, right? Did y'all not pay attention? Did y'all not see them? Look, I seen like two, and it looked like two tree trunks walking around. There's no way. Did y'all not see the city they lived in? And all we got is a donkey? What are we going to do with the donkey? And we tear down every proud idea that what? Against what? The knowledge of God. What was the knowledge of God there? The knowledge of God there was going to Canaan land. It belongs to you, it's yours. And so the thoughts came, you can't have that, the giants are too big. You really think you can afford that? God doesn't want you healed. You're one person that'll have to die with that. Well, your family have it. Why do you think that you're not going to have it? It runs in your family. So you have to have it. Your leg just hurts every now and again. You can deal with that pain. It's not that bad. Look, it's just a finger. You'll be fine. I know it gets stiff on you sometimes. I know your back hurts whenever the weather's changing. You can tell if it's raining or whatever, rain's coming. But it's fine. It's only when the weather changes, you'll be okay. See, because that's vain ideas. That's a proud idea that raises itself against the knowledge of God. Because the knowledge of God said, Jesus died on the cross for us. He took the stripes on his back so that I don't have to deal with any kind of sickness, disease, pain, or anything. We also what? Right here. We also capture every thought. And make it give up and what? What does that sound like? Well, look, you just got $8 an hour job. You cannot have that kind of life, that nice lifestyle. That's a vain imagination. That's the thought. I need to shut it up and say, look, although Jesus was very rich, for my sakes, he became poor so that through his poverty, I might be rich. Amen. See, that's how we take it and make it give up and obey Christ. Obey the word of God, right? We destroy, go ahead. Is that all of it? Go up to verse 4. It starts right, the last sentence right there. It says, we destroy people's arguments.
Amen.
Well, God doesn't, it's not God's will to heal everybody. Well, you know, whenever he's talking about, though he was rich, he was just talking about spiritual things. Well, why can't he be talking about financial things too? Why does it have to just be spiritual things? So we destroy people's arguments. Always questioning God. Well, God loves everybody. He won't send nobody to hell. Number one, he never sent one person to hell. So that right there, you just already let me know that you know nothing about God.
Yes.
Because Jesus came so that nobody would have to go to hell. People choose to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or they choose not to. And so it's their choice. Right?
Amen.
So we destroy people's arguments. Next, please. And we tear down every proud idea that raises itself against the knowledge of God. I'm just that good, you know. I mean, I'm just that good. That's why all this money and stuff just comes to me. I'd calm down a little bit there, hero. Because Deuteronomy, what is it? 8:18 talks about God gave us the ability, the power to produce wealth. God did. It ain't because you're so smart. That's Holy Ghost ideas. Amen. Look it up in the Passion, please. Actually, is that that's the ERV. Do you have the ESV? The ESV says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. The word opinions, I looked up, it says belief, judgment, or way of thinking about something, what someone thinks about a particular thing. What somebody thinks about a particular thing. Amen. Pull up the Passion, please. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that God, and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Amen. I found this on the interweb. I'm going to read it to you. In deceiving others, it is taken for granted that we know the truth and instead of it choose to tell a lie. It is a conscious act. If the same theory is applied to self-deception, it would mean that we are both the holder of the truth and believer of the lie. That's hard to grasp, how we could legitimately believe something we ourselves know to be a lie. It would seem that if we knew the truth, or if it was readily available to us, we would have no choice but to accept it. Our acceptance of whether something is true or not may often depend on how painful the truth is to bear. When it is painful, as it often is, it's very tempting to deny it. We'll let him read this word. You don't have your glasses? Can you read it?
Reorganize.
Sounds good. Reorganize. We reorganize the truth into something that's easier, less painful, and more convenient. Of course, by doing so, it is no longer the truth, and we are instead absorbing lies. We shouldn't underestimate how effectively we can do this, how deeply ingrained these lies can become. Perhaps we knew the actual truth at one time. Perhaps at some level we still do, but it is buried so deep that we are protected from it and a considerable feat. Amen. So that's exactly what ended up happening to the Israelites.
That's right.
They knew the truth, but they would not hang on to it. They denied it. And so they started telling a lie. We can't take this. It's too much. It's too much. The people are too big. We're unable to get everything that God promised us. I know God is God and He created everything, but it's still too much for Him. We're going to have to find another way, fellas. We're going to have to figure something else out because this is just too much right now. Right? In Hebrews, let me read my note over here. Hebrews 3:19, it says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." In the Greek, the word also means disobedience. It also means unpersuadableness. Unpersuadableness. Amen. It's 8 o'clock. Amen. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and I thank you, Father God. We will continue to meditate and grow in your word. And we won't live in unbelief. But Father God, everything that belongs to us, we will have it. And I thank you, Father God, we grab on it with faith from your word. And I thank you, we continually to walk in it every single day of our life. We thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agreed, said amen. Amen.